It was a long time before he could steady his nerves to answer my questions, and then he answered perplexingly and brokenly. He was a driver in the artillery, and had only come into action about 7. At that time, firing was going on across the common, and it was said the first party of Martians were crawling slowly toward their second cylinder under cover of a metal shield. Later, this shield staggered up on tripod legs and became the first of the fighting machines I'd seen. The gun he drove had been unlimbered near Horsell in order to command the sand pits, and its arrival it was that had precipitated the action. As the limber gunners went to the rear, his horse trod in a rabbit hole and came down, throwing him into a depression of the ground. At the same moment, the gun exploded behind him, the ammunition blew up, there was fire all about him, and he found himself lying under a heap of charred dead men and dead horses. "I lay still," he said, "scared out of my wits, with the forequarter of a horse atop of me. We'd been wiped out, and the smell, good God, like burned meat. I was hurt across the back by the fall of the horse, and there I had to lie until I felt better. Just like parade it had been a minute before, then stumble, bang, swish. Wiped out," he said. He had hid under the dead horse for a long time, peeping out furtively across the common. The Cardigan men had tried a rush in skirmishing order at the pit, simply to be swept out of existence. Then the monster had risen to its feet and had begun to walk leisurely to and fro across the common among the few fugitives, with its head-like hood turning about exactly like the head of a cowled human being. A kind of arm carried a complicated metallic case about which green flashes scintillated, and out of the funnel of this there smote the heat ray. In a few minutes there was, so far as the soldier could see, not a living thing left upon the common, and every bush and tree upon it that was not already a blackened skeleton was burning. The hussars had been on the road beyond the curvature of the ground, and he saw nothing of them. He heard the Maxims rattle for a time, and then become still. The giant saved Woking Station and its cluster of houses until the last. Then, in a moment, the heat ray was brought to bear, and the town became a heap of fiery ruins. Then the thing shut off the heat ray, and turning its back upon the artillerymen, began to waddle away toward the smoldering pine woods that sheltered the second cylinder. As it did so, a second, glittering titan built itself up out of the pit. The second monster followed the first, and at that the artillerymen began to crawl very cautiously across the hot heather ash toward Horsell. He managed to get alive into the ditch by the side of the road, and so escaped to Woking. There, his story became ejaculatory. The place was impassable. It seems there were a few people alive there, frantic for the most part, and many burned and scalded. He was turned aside by the fire, and hid among some almost scorching heaps of broken wall as one of the Martian giants returned. He saw this one pursue a man, catch him up in one of its steely tentacles, and knock his head against the trunk of a pine tree.